This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome into the Autzen Audibles podcast. I'm Matt Prehm, Eric Scopel on the show, and today we are joined by UTSA Insider's publisher, JJ Perez of the 24/7 Sports Network. JJ, thanks for coming on the show. You are the man of the hour because you know a lot about Will Stein. That's what the conversation is going to be about this week, or this Friday, I should say, on the podcast, is getting some information on Oregon's new offensive coordinator. You've covered the team a while. You were in depth on this. I'd love to get just your perspective on Will Stein from just how he was viewed by those within the program, like yourself in the media, your other colleagues that cover the team. Just how was he viewed? Was this a guy that everyone kind of knew? Like, hey, he's only going to be here a couple of years because he's going to be a move on to a bigger program, or is this a guy they were hoping to keep long term?
Yeah, so I mean, it was kind of a shock to lose Coach Stein this last week. Whenever there's success, people are always going to come for your coaches. And for UTSA, this is the second straight year they've lost the coordinator for a Power 5 conference. So it's not unexpected, but Coach Stein he's a first year coordinator this year for the Roadrunners. He used to be the wide receivers coach. And they moved him up this last, offseason because UTSA's other offensive coordinator, Barry Lunny Jr., went to Illinois. So I'd describe him as a kind of young, up-and-coming coach, very smart, very heady. We don't get to talk to the coordinators very often, but when we did, he's very friendly, very sociable. And just kind of a young and up-and-comer. This is his first year being a coordinator, and he's been with Jeff Traylor kind of along his whole career. He was at Texas. I think he went to high school, and after the stint that Traylor had in Texas, he went to coach at a high school in Austin, and then he came to UTSA. So it is kind of somewhat a surprise, but again, not unexpected, and everybody thinks he's going to be a great coach. So we'll see how it turns out for him.
JJ, I'm curious. You mentioned it was maybe a surprise when he took off. Was it a surprise when he was promoted to the offensive coordinator position? I know it was a co-OC deal. And the reason I ask is because he was 32 years old when he was promoted, and he was 2 years removed from being like a high school coach. So to be a play caller feels like a big step up for somebody with his coaching background at that point.
Yeah, so the way UTSA does it, they actually have like multiple coordinators, a run game coordinator, a pass game coordinator, then the actual play caller. So he was as the wide receivers coach 2 years ago, he was very involved as the passing game coordinator. And from my understanding, he did call plays at Lake Travis High School. So that's one of kind of the big Central Texas high schools here in Texas. And he has that experience. He was real close. I mean, real close with head coach Jeff Traylor. They used to live together when they were in Austin when Traylor was coaching there. So, a little bit of a surprise, but UTSA likes to move their guys up internally so they don't have to change the verbiage. There's not a big, shift in, style of play. So, he did well for himself that first year, this first year coaching, and I think sky's the limit for him.
This season, the offense, and just really in general, at UTSA is really good. I mean, you look at the key stats, and, they're in the top 25 for a majority of them. How would you describe the last few years of the offense with Will Stein involved. I know maybe it's the same system, you know, each guy getting elevated up, but just how would you describe the UTSA offense right now?
So I describe it as very being able to adjust and adapt to different challenges. So this year, UTSA's offensive line was it was a struggle to keep these guys healthy. And I think at one point they were rolling out the third and fourth string tackle and guard. And it was one point where they had to get a defensive lineman to switch to offensive line. So they were a little pass heavy at first in this part of the season, but they kind of adapted a little bit more to the RPO offense where, you know, Frank Harris is a dual threat quarterback. They let him kind of decide and read defenses. But I'd say, you know, the biggest thing is being multiple. UTSA has a trio of wide receivers that are as good as anyone in the group of five. And they put the ball in those guys' hands and just let them make plays. So he's going to put his players in the best position to succeed. But, I mean, it's really what the defense throws at you. You know, we saw some guys almost dare UTSA to run the ball. And so UTSA pounded the run at some point. They had depth issues at running back, and they found a redshirt freshman who emerged for something like 700 yards in five games of play. So he's going to do whatever he needs to do to move the ball. And I think the biggest thing is the success in the red zone. They didn't always come away with touchdowns, but they were pretty good at, you know, converting at a really high clip there. And, you know, that's a function of play calling, if you ask me.
Yeah, JJ, I'm curious, you know, whenever there is a new position coach, new head coach, new offensive coordinator, there might be growing pains, you know, moments where things aren't working fantastically. With Stein being promoted to a position where, I know you said he called plays in high school, but to be a full-time play caller this last year, were there moments of a maturation process? And I guess I ask because, again, he's a really young guy doing this for the first time. Or was it pretty quick that it was like, man, this guy knows what he's doing?
No, there were some growing pains a little bit, especially early on in the season. So I think Stein likes to call the field, which is a little bit different from most OCs. Most OCs will be in the box, but you see both. And there were some kind of logistical substitution issues early in the season. I mean, some of that was due to different staff being in different positions and trying to cycle guys in and out. And, you know, there's a new wide receiver coach and, you know, how does that work with special teams and all this. But, you know, after I'd say a game and a half, they got it under control. And from an actual play calling flow of, you know, how well the offense ticked, I mean, it was from Jump Street that they got it going in game one. So I'm sure he's going to hit the ground running and just kind of, it's going to be how he integrates with the rest of the staff there and, you know, the logistic, the terms and the logistics of substitution packages. But, you know, he's pretty good at all that. And I'm sure he'll hit the ground running.
Under his time as offensive coordinator there, they've had a really special quarterback in Frank Harris. You mentioned him, almost 4,000 yards passing this season, over 71% completion percentage. And I think the last 3 years he's combined for like 1,600 yards rushing and 24 touchdowns. Just what have you seen just from Frank Harris helping Will Stein, having, you know, first-time play caller, having that talented of a quarterback, and then maybe did you see kind of any improvement with Frank Harris with Will Stein's, you know, tutelage?
Yeah, this 2022 season has been historic for UTSA's offense. I think Frank Harris has something like 35 school records that he's either broke or set himself or broke himself this year and last year. I think he's number four in total offense in the nation. So it's a pretty good clip that these guys are producing at. And the biggest thing I would say that Stein has helped with Harris is his passing accuracy. You mentioned that 71%. That's pretty good when you take a look at, you know, the rest of the quarterbacks in the nation. And that was one area where Harris struggled at to start his career. And he was much kind of criticized for not being an accurate passer, but I mean, he's improved that tremendously. I think he was like 64, 65 8% last year. And that was one of the things Stein told us in the preseason they were really working on to get him above 70%. And they got that there. They maybe did some more quick passes and, you know, but as the season went on, you know, he was going down the field quite a bit. And you look at this last game, I mean, I think Harris had 5 incompletions, and it was at one point they were throwing the ball down the field and he had 2 incompletions. So just the accuracy, I think just helping him make better decisions. Stein used to be a quarterback, so he knows, you know, what it's like to be a collegiate QB. And I think that's really helped Harris develop.
Yeah, I guess I'm curious, following up on that, JJ, just the – and I know it's hard because the sample size is extremely small with what Stein has coached, so it's hard to say, like, how much of this is relying on quality quarterback, how much of this is, you know, his own offensive skill set. But how much do you think it helped Stein in his first year to have a quarterback like Harris? And then I'm just curious on how much of the offense utilizes like a dual threat quarterback or relies on the running of a quarterback like Harris, because there's a chance that when Stein gets to Eugene, he'll be coaching Bo Nix, who I think has maybe a similar skill set. I'm just kind of wondering how those players might fit together.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a large part of the success, to be honest with you. I mean, maybe, you know, quarterback plays so huge in college football. You have to have a good quarterback. And the thing with UTSA struggled with before these last 2 seasons where they were back-to-back conference champions is that they didn't have a healthy quarterback and they were having to shuffle guys in and out. So it starts right there, right? You got to have your horses. You got to have your athletes. And to be able to have a guy that could read defenses and escape. And there was a run where they clinched the regular season championship where it looked like Frank Harris was dead and he made one move and he was gone for 60 yards. And it's the longest play of the year and in the biggest moment of the year so far. So it certainly goes hand in hand, but you know, a lot of times it's play calling as well. And oftentimes, the level that UTSA plays at, there's some head scratching play calls, but we haven't seen too much of that under these guys the last 2 seasons. And I think that's a big part of it. So I'd say it's probably a 50-50 mix between the quarterback and the coordinator.
What do you feel like is the offense? Are they like a tempo offense? Do they go slow? Do they go to huddle? Like what does UTSA like to be known for in those regards? Because we've seen the video where he likes to say multiple and get their studs the ball or feed the studs, I think is
feed his, the studs, yeah.
Is a slogan. But just like what's the offensive scheme here that Oregon fans can maybe expect to see?
Yeah, I think it's a mix of spread and RPO and, you know, they do a lot of tempo. They've done a lot of tempo to try and keep defenses on their heels. It just kind of depends on the flow of the game. They, like everybody else, he'll script the first 10 plays or whatever it is and see where the game flow goes. But what we saw a lot this season was once they get the defense on their heels a little bit, they're going to push the tempo to try and, you know, not let them get set. And just kind of go no huddle, you know, just call the plays from the sidelines. And I think that's a big part of why he likes to be on the sidelines during the games. But yeah, RPO, we saw a lot of pistol action towards the end of the year when defenses started to kind of key in on some of the plays they like to run. And, you know, like I said before, he's going to adjust kind of on the fly. And really, that's what this game is all about. Like, you know, the in-game chess match. So he's shown to be pretty good at that, I think, this season.
JJ, I don't know how much – you probably don't realize how much you just triggered Oregon's fan base, but using the word pistol, Oregon used that formation under Mark Cristobal a lot, and I think a lot of fans weren't particularly big fans of it. So we'll see how that goes with Stein as the OC. I'm curious on, like, what kind of wrinkles or changes or – because it, you know, it's interesting because, again, we're talking about this as if he's got a large sample size, but it's just 1 year, and he was on staff for 2 years prior, as you said, passing coordinator, wide receivers coach. Did you feel like the 2022 offense felt or looked any different than the 2020 or 2021 offense when he was on staff in a different role? And as you said, the previous OC was here.
Yeah, it was a little bit different as far as the wrinkles. I mean, they were pretty consistent with the general style of play, you know, getting their three. They got three very good wide receivers, getting them the ball. Last year, they had a stud workhorse running back, and that was a big gap that wasn't there this year. And they were still able to produce the rushing game at a pretty good clip. So, yeah, that the biggest takeaway I'd say are the wrinkles. We saw some, you know, tight end get direct snaps. We saw wide receivers throw passes. We saw running backs throw passes. There was something in the bowl game in the championship game this last week that we've never seen before. And I guess they were saving it in. So the point is I think Stein's not afraid to go into his bag of tricks a little bit to get things done. There was a few overtime games where, you know, I think they pulled out the Philly special on a 2-point conversion or something. So not afraid to get in there and mix it up.
JJ, what are your thoughts just on his recruiting? And obviously the Roadrunners are not signing 5-star players, but they're finding talent that fits their system and plays at a really impressive level. I mean, you have to have good players to win a conference. You have to have a bunch of really good players to do it 2 years in a row, like they have. Just what are your thoughts just on Will's recruiting and just the ability to find talent to fit into the system?
Yeah, so he's a really good recruiter. I mean, he's going to get after it. He's going to hit the road. He's going to go to high schools. He's going to get with these guys, and he could relate because he did play at this level, and you know, he knows what it takes to be successful. And as the wide receivers coach a few years ago, I mean, he brought in some really good guys. This last year, UTSA landed a really good quarterback. And, you know, he's hand in hand with the head coach and the recruiting coordinator and that staff. And, you know, he's young, he's energetic, he knows how to talk to these guys. And that, to me, that's the one of the bigger aspects you want out of your offensive coordinator, because, I mean, recruiting is the lifeblood of any program. And it's like you got to buy the groceries if you want to cook the meal too, right? So he's shown to be pretty good at that. Again, like you guys mentioned, it's a small sample size. His ties in Texas are obviously, I mean, he's well known throughout the state. So we'll see how that translates to Oregon. You know, it remains to be seen. It's like, this is what you've done, but now show me what you could do, right? So I think that's where he's at with that.
I'm asking this question on behalf of the Oregon fan base, who's already worried about when Will Stein will take a head coaching job somewhere else, because Oregon's luck the last several half decade or so has been anytime a coach has a modicum of success, they end up somewhere else quite quickly. But do you see Will Stein as somebody who is wants to be a head coach, has the skill set to be a head coach? Do you think that's something that is attainable in the next 2 to 3 years? Like, what's kind of your perspective on him as somebody running his own program?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely a possibility. I would say more in the distant future than in the short term. He was a first-year coordinator last year, so this is a big step up for him. It's a big opportunity to go to Oregon and kind of prove that he could do this at the highest level. And really, that'll determine what happens in his future. He's considered a young and upcoming coach, and it would not shock anyone if he's like the next brainchild of a program leading, you know, being a head coach and leading that program. So I'm sure that's in his future somewhere. I just don't think it's maybe 2 or 3 years out, maybe 5 years out. It would be my guess.
I guess the last question I got for you is just back to like a scheme question, JJ, and tight ends. That was a position at Oregon the last couple of seasons that they didn't get the production that they should have based off the talent that was there. This season they did. They got really creative with how many guys they played at once on the field. We even saw a rushing touchdown by a tight end, which just is strange. What's the tight end's focal point in UTA's offense? Are they there? Are they just the block? Are they more receiver type guys? And what's just the tight end scheme? How they fit into the scheme?
Yeah, Stein loves to use tight ends. I mean, if they could throw two or three of them out there, I'm sure he would. That was one of the areas that got hit by injury this year, and they love 12 personnel. I mean, they're gonna start most games with that, and that says something because they got three really good wide receivers. So you're taking one of those guys off the field to do that. I think part of it was the issues they had with the injury situation at one of the tackle positions, and they use that to help with blocking. But they're gonna get creative. It's like you said, we've seen three tight end sets, and we saw a rushing situation with the tight end here as well. So they're going to find them in space as well. If they have soft hands and good hands, UTSA has a few of those types of tight ends on their roster. They find them. They're not going to find them 10 times a game like they are the wide receivers are, but they're going to make big plays. And if you look at some of the biggest plays UTSA's had these last two seasons, it's involved the tight ends making massive catches and, you know, being kind of like almost a, oh, look at this guy. He's on the roster. There's a game-winning touchdown or something. So, heavy use of the tight ends. They love it. They want to keep the defenses on their heels, you know, because it's like you're preparing for these three wide receivers or these awesome talent you have on the outside, and then here's two tight ends you didn't even really know about. So, again, going back to being multiple and kind of tricking defenses, I think you'll see a lot of tight end use.
All right. I lied. I have one more question.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Do you anticipate any players, support staff considering following Stein to Oregon? Like, I think obviously the quarterback's not going to come. Bo Nix is potentially coming. He's already announced he's coming back for UTSA. But are there the possibility that a player or maybe a support staff member follows him to Oregon?
Yeah, I just think it's a real fluid situation, to be honest with you. A lot of it is going to have to do with salary and availability of positions. I don't know what openings are going to become available on the Oregon staff, what's open now. UTSA is doing their best to try and hold on, to keep the guys together and to try and run it back. They won back-to-back conference championships with this staff, and you know, they lost their defensive coordinator last year too. So it's hard at this level because of the salary available on the next level. So I don't think it's going to happen, but it certainly isn't out of the realm of possibility. And that's something I'm certainly keeping my ear to the ground on. I haven't heard anything. I don't know anything as of this point, but again, that could change in the coming weeks. And, you know, I think after signing day, things kind of get a little crazy with staff and, you know, so we'll see what this offseason holds, but that's a big question in San Antonio, is can they keep this staff together and run it back next season?
JJ, thank you for coming on the show, giving us some great insight into Will Stein and the Roadrunner offense. Really appreciate it, and hopefully we cross paths down the road again at some point. It's been a blast having you on, man.
Awesome, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
It was a very bright, shining light, Sarajevo, and they needed to kill that light.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2.
U2, they represent a personification of our resistance.
The Hollywood Reporter hails Kiss the Future, moving and inspirational.
Kiss the Future! Viva Sarajevo!
Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Go to Paramount+ to try it free. Terms apply.